good to have you back. This is the show where I want to hear all sides of the story. The national debate because of the shooting this past weekend and Clarence Dubnyk, the sheriff who's brought up these comments, I think is a good debate. And that is the responsibility of people behind the mic. And what you say matters. Again, here's part of what he said, which is what we are responding to, and I think most talk radio shows are dealing with in the last couple of days.
I think it's time as a country that we need to do a little soul searching, because I think the vitriolic rhetoric that we hear day in and day out from people in the radio business and some people in the TV business, and what we see on TV and how our youngsters are being raised, that this has not become the nice United States of America that most of us grew up in. And I think it's time that we do the soul search.
So let me ask you this. This is what we're talking about. And with us is Brad Friedman, who is into something that is rare today in the media, is integrity. Brad Friedman is from bradblog.com. And Brad, the question always comes up, what evidence do we have that these deranged people are influenced by fringe talk radio or just any talk radio? And what's your answer to that?
Well, unfortunately, I would say that it's not fringe talk radio. It's mainstream talk radio. You know, Rush Limbaugh is heard on 600 affiliate stations around the country. And as I said in the last hour, 91% of talk radio is indeed right-wing radio, and, you know, the mainstreamers like Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Michael Savage, and all the rest, their opinions may be fringe, or at least they would used to be regarded that way, but they are now, you know, has become the center, if you will. What evidence do we have that some of these folks are influenced by them? Well, we've got a great deal of evidence, and this would be even if you set aside this Gerald Loeffner guy in Tucson, even if you set him aside despite the fact that he has, you know, repeated a lot of stuff that sounds very much like what you'll hear from Glenn Beck every day, you know, about you must buy gold and the currency will collapse and all of that business. Even if you set him aside, we've got a number of folks, a number of shootings around the country. You know, as early as 2009, you had this guy walk into a Unitarian church in Knoxville, Tennessee, killed two folks, a couple of children, I think, along with six or seven other folks, said he was actually gunning for liberals, and that if he had had the choice, he would have killed everyone in Bernie Goldberg's book that was called 100 Liberals Who Are Destroying America. But he couldn't reach them, he said, so he went gunning for this church that he felt was a liberal church, and he gunned them down. That same year, we had a guy by the name of Richard Poplotsky, who had some police. There was a disturbance. Police came to his door, knocked on the door, and he shot three policemen dead right there because he felt they were coming to take away his guns, because that's what Barack Obama wanted to do, take away people's guns. Never mind the fact that Barack Obama actually expanded gun rights more than George Bush ever did, by the way. You know, this is what he was convinced was the case. Last summer in San Francisco, a guy by the name of Byron Williams was thankfully stopped by police. It resulted in a shootout, but he was stopped on his way to kill, he said, everyone at the ACLU and at the Tides Foundation. Now, if you haven't heard of the Tides Foundation, it's because, A, you're either like almost everybody in America, or if you have heard of the Tides Foundation, it's because you watch Glenn Beck, because he pointed out this group about 29 different times, this obscure progressive foundation that I had never even heard of. So there was a reason this guy went gunning for the Tides Foundation, and in fact he said so later, that he regarded Glenn Beck as a professor. His mother said that he would watch Fox News and was furious and getting more and more angry about the quote-unquote liberal agenda. So you know, we have seen very direct ties to right-wing talk radio, right-wing television, authors, and so forth, and it has resulted in many murders and assassinations around the country over the past couple of years.
866-482-1011. Somebody wanted to clarify that Clarence Dubnyk was speaking his opinion as being a sheriff and watching people in the trenches committing these crimes, the things they believe, the things they say. It's opinion. It's not necessarily fact because he's a sheriff, and we'll put that out there. All right, let's go to some of these calls here. 866-482-1011. 866-482-1011. All right, let's go to Michael on line four. Mike, good to have you on.
Yeah, Alan, thanks for having my call. I find it very sad but very not surprising that a lot of the people in talk radio who were, I guess, implicated by the sheriff's comments, let me be fair, reacted so defensively. I get the impression that when these things happen these days, and your guest has highlighted some of those previous examples, that some of these people are looking at the news and hoping that, dear Lord, I hope he didn't post my video on his MySpace page or his Facebook page, you know? And in this instance, it actually has snared up Sarah Palin in a way, you know, with the crosshairs and things like that. And I think it's just sad with so many, I'd say, I hate to look at this dispassionately, but with so many sentimental victims. I mean, your ABC News report just reported her husband is an astronaut. They've been married 3 years. They haven't had a chance to have their own kids. He was supposed to be captaining a shuttle mission. You know, you got a 9-year-old girl. She went there because she wanted to see what democracy looked like. She's dead. And who are the victims? Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck. I mean, that's sad. And I can also add something about the gun used. I'm a solo hiker. I hike in the woods in North Carolina by myself, long distances. Back in the day, I used to carry this particular gun. It's a simple, basic gun. When you have a 30-shot clip, there's nothing that gun's used to do for but mowing down people. That's it. I don't think that thing's legal in North Carolina, but it's unwieldy. You can't really hold it. You can't holster it. You know, and the thing is, if it wasn't for the bravery of a one woman and two men, he would have had 30 more shots.
That's right. He used an extra, whatever they call it, an extra capacity clip. Which allows about 15, 20 more shots before you have to reload.
It has no purpose whatsoever with that Glock. That is a service weapon. That's what they call it. I own it. It's made to be shot simply. It's light. It's easy. It's easy to carry, you know. Imagine a cell phone for a cop, you know. You want it to be easy and light. But with that clip, it becomes just something to mow down people with. And I'm not pretending like making something illegal is going to make it disappear. I don't want to say that. But it seems sensible that Arizona would either A, sort of figure out how to make mental health services a little bit more available for people who are clearly crazy, or two, figure out some way to make the gun laws more sensible, some in between them two. I'm not anti-gun, but geez, man, this seems just senseless, you know?
Yeah, well, hold on, Mike. We'll get a final response from you. Let's get Brad to comment.
Yeah, well, those clips actually used to be illegal. And that law was expired during the Bush administration, and they chose not to renew it. So those clips used to be illegal, which would have made it a hell of a lot harder for a kid like him to get. Could he have still gotten it? Of course. But, you know, laws don't end everything, but they can certainly help. And they would have helped, I would argue, in this case. And yet, that law was allowed to expire. Now you've got Carolyn Maloney, the congresswoman from New York, who is trying to renew that law. And today I was just told during the break here that Glenn Beck was on the air making fun of her for wanting to do that. Now, I should remind you that Carolyn Maloney is a congresswoman because she ran for Congress in New York after her husband was gunned down by a psychopath on the Long Island Railroad a few years back, you may recall. And yet here she is, 3 days after the shooting in Tucson, after her law had expired, calling to, you know, see it renewed, and being viciously savaged by Glenn Beck. And you wonder how we got in this mess that we're in.
Michael, go ahead and give 30 more seconds.
Yes, quickly. Now, I might point out that I assume that most of your listeners and your guests and yourself have heard her response, the victim, that is the Congresswoman's response on MSNBC about Sarah Palin targeting her with those crosshairs. And she said that's irresponsible and these things have consequences. What happened? Nothing! She didn't even take him off then! And, I mean, it's just sad. You know, these things are entirely preventable, and the United States has a long history of this. This is not new. There are lots of times where people, I've seen old pictures of people crossing rivers with rifles over their heads, crossing the river to go vote, especially during Reconstruction. So we shouldn't pretend that polarization is new, but this is preventable and not necessary.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, and I would add, by the way, that, you know, we should note that we don't yet know that there's any direct link between Sarah Palin and what Jared Loughner did there in Tucson, despite the fact that she did have that crosshairs map and specifically had a crosshair on the name of Gabrielle Giffords. But while we don't know that they're related, apparently Sarah Palin does, because she thought she ought to take that map down just, you know, within 24 hours or so after the shooting. And ridiculously, her aide went on the air and said, oh, no, those were never, ever, ever meant to be gun sites. Those were just surveyor symbols.
Yeah, that's great.
Why are they so defensive if they did nothing wrong? Why are they so defensive? And, yes, by the way, just last November, Sarah Palin referred back to her bullseye map. So clearly those were not surveyor symbols on that map.
All right, we're going to move on and take a break here. Keep the calls coming. Michael, thank you for your call. Appreciate that. 866-482-1011 is our number. 866-482-1011. We're talking about responsibility behind the microphone. It's the Alan Handelman Show. Don't go away. Such a frustrating topic, but a good one. Not a new topic for people who have been listening to me, because going back years and years ago, when I've seen people starting to infiltrate my business of talk radio and broadcasting who had motives that weren't as pure as they presented it on the air, we've been talking about this. And every so often, there's something that happens in the news, and once again, people are going to be pointing the fingers to the ones on radio and TV giving out misinformation, and not just occasionally, pretty much on a regular basis. Clarence Dubnyk, the sheriff, who is the one who's really bringing these things out openly and discussing this. And actually, here's another comment. We have somebody here who is the brother-in-law, actually. The brother-in-law, his name is Scott Kelly, of Gabrielle Giffords, who made a comment from space. This is the way it went.
As I look out window, I see a very beautiful planet that seems very inviting and peaceful. Unfortunately, it is not. These days, we're constantly reminded of the unspeakable acts of violence and damage we can inflict upon one another, not just with our actions, but also with our irresponsible words.
866-482-1011, the responsibility behind those with a microphone. That's what we're discussing. Not censorship. A lot of people taking that leap. All right, 866-482-1011. Let's go to Mike. Thanks for holding Mike on line three. It's great to have you on WZTK.
Thanks, Alan.
You're welcome.
I'm a long-time listener. You there?
Yes, we got you. Thank you, Mike. Go ahead.
Okay.
We got you.
Hey, long-time listener, and I love you to death, Alan, but I tell you, you never pass up a good opportunity to be a good old liberal. Hey, 3 points.
Wait a minute, what's being liberal? Talking about something that was a disaster and somebody, the judge, somebody who's a sheriff, people who were making legitimate, I think, issues to be discussed. There's nothing wrong. Is that being liberal?
Well, with me, Alan, I want to preface this by saying, number one, I'm a minister, so I don't subscribe to violence on any part. But two, I refuse.
But what has that got to do with being liberal? Well, how about just being an American? Why is somebody who has a difference of opinion has to be put in a category?
Because this is the only thing that I'm hearing about this situation is liberal versus conservative. My thing is, I don't
even brought up the word liberal. I haven't even brought up the word liberal.
I don't see how we should even make trying and make the Tucson issue the issue, because everybody that talks about this tragedy starts out by saying there is no evidence that this guy is in any way connected to any political group whatsoever.
Right. Well, we made that clear. We've talked. Nobody is making that. Listen, you're kind of repeating a lot of the stuff that I've already made clear. There is no one who says this is a direct correlation. We don't know his political views. He was deranged. We know that. But discussing the responsibility of people behind the microphone, I'm still shocked by you thinking that is some kind of liberal. What's wrong with discussing people's responsibility behind the microphone? Why is that liberal?
Well, because I hear you. I'm no great fan of Rush or Sean or any of them. But one thing I will say about those programs, I mean, does it ever occur to anybody the reason their audiences are so big? I think the bigger picture is what people are listening into is it shows the frustration of the people. Now, hear what you're saying.
It doesn't show that it's accurate because people are listening. Let's get Brad's response to that,
yeah,
Mike.
Let me jump in, because I would love to know, this notion. What he has basically said to you is that you are a liberal, but he hasn't pointed out any point of view that he actually disagrees with you on, any actual substance.
No.
I would argue that this quote-unquote liberal versus quote-unquote conservative, and by the way, most folks on the right are anything but conservative, but I would point out that this liberal versus conservative paradigm is a phony paradigm, and it is meant to keep people arguing liberal versus conservative, my team versus yours, rather than any substance. I would love to know substantively what it is that he disagrees with either you or I about. And on the radio, the reason you have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest on so many of these stations has nothing to do with the fact that people want to hear that. It has to do purely with the fact that these are right-wing corporations that by and large own all of these stations and have sucked up all of the public bandwidth and choose to put those guys on the radio. It has nothing to do with ratings, unfortunately. It's just what they want to have on the air.
And, Mike, I didn't even use the word in the entire show, liberal. It isn't one against the other. We're just talking about responsibility behind the microphone. Like he said, what is one thing you disagree with what I said? One thing that you disagree with me.
My comment to you, Alan, about liberal is I've been listening to you for about 8 years now, and so I was not talking about this in particular.
Well, we're on the subject tonight. One thing that you disagree with me with, just one thing.
I disagree with you on this because I think that what the bigger picture that people might not be seeing, the thing that bothers me about all of it is when you start talking about shutting down communications or radio
shutting
stations.
Down communications, that's another thing you're putting in my mouth. I didn't even nobody is talking about that.
So
nobody.
What would you have the radio commentators do? Say things that are going to please people that they disagree with?
All right. Well, listen, I tried, Mike. I tried. Thanks for your call. The last thing, that's so far from anything that has even been said. That's really frustrating. I can see what you're talking about. You know, one of the things I want to follow up on what Michael Shmakana said, and I'll play that clip again. I've been doing talk radio a long time. And when you have people who can send you an email without a name and completely anonymous, it's amazing how vile, disgusting, mean-spirited, hateful stuff you get. And the stuff that they're ranting about could be stuff they're angry they heard years ago from someone else, but because they put you in a category of liberal or moderate, they just assume you think these things, and they just open up, and there's threats, there's a bunch of stuff. Anybody in talk radio knows that. And these are the people who aren't brave enough to leave their name. These are the people, and anybody like Michael Shmakanish can talk about that. While I get that clip ready, because I think it's a good time to play it again, because he is a conservative talk radio host, but go ahead and comment on that last call with Brad. Go ahead.
Yeah, and this is sort of, you know, akin to the clip that we played in the last hour from that short film I made, Rise of the Teabags, that folks can look up on the Internet. That caller probably doesn't even disagree with you. He has been trained to believe that he does. He's been trained to believe that you are a quote-unquote liberal, whatever the hell that means, and couldn't even cite one point on which he disagreed with you. You know, he thought that you wanted to shut down right-wing radio. We've never discussed that at
all.
In many ways. There are many ways. The fairness doctrine, frankly, we can do it after the break if you want, but none of the things he brought up were ever even discussed. It was an imaginary disagreement, and that is what bad guys out there are counting on, and I would argue exactly why they make the kind of liberal versus conservative arguments that they do all across the airwaves. It keeps them from having to deal with actual substance and actual issues.
All right, we'll take that break, and we're going to continue with your calls on this, 866-482-1011. As I said yesterday, Rush Limbaugh would bring up the fairness doctrine, and he did. He actually did, and of course he brings up a lot of things that always seems to happen, like inferring that this guy was really a liberal, which is usually the case when somebody does something. I don't want to play the game. We're Americans. If you disagree, fine. But we're Americans. Stop playing this name game and joining a club and sticking with it and loving the club more than loving America. Getting fed up with this. It's the Alan Handelman Show. It's interesting. Some people hear what they want to hear. Even if they don't hear it, they just assume you said it. We've had a couple people, not many, but who've called in today who brought up subjects I didn't even bring up. Things I never even said. No one's talking about taking people off the air, censoring people, censorship, any of that stuff. We're talking about responsibility between people who do a radio show on television, all brought on by, really, Clarence Dubnyk, the sheriff in Tucson, who brought this up. Just as we're talking a little bit about gun control today, earlier in the show. And with us, by the way, is Brad Friedman. He's the man behind BradBlog.com. He's here for integrity, both sides. He calls out if he sees misinformation. And we're talking about, of course, the shooting and the ramifications. You know, it's amazing to me. We've been talking about this, and I think pretty much it's a given on this show. I want to hear all sides of the story. It's a mission statement from 25-plus years when I started doing the show, the Sunday Night Show. It's right on the top of my website, ifitrocks.com. Hear all sides of the story and make up your own mind. And that's why I mostly, when I have hot issues, we have people with views I don't agree with. We put them on. We put a lot of conservatives on who are a lot more conservative than I am because I want to hear that side of the story. So, you know, it is interesting how people hear what they want to hear. A talk show host who calls himself a conservative, but he no longer does that because about 4, 5, 6 months ago, Michael Schmokanich said he's done with the Republican Party because he sees so much misinformation. Here is his response just from today's show, talking about what Clarence Dubnyk said, who was trying to make a connection to the shooting and people with possibly a shingle loose being influenced by some of the people on radio and television. And here's what he said.
I think I can draw a causal connection to Joe Wilson interrupting a State of the Union address by shouting at the President of the United States, "You lie." Similarly appalling. I can draw a causal connection between those two, each a knucklehead in my view, when they did what they did, and talk radio and cable television. They've been prepped well by microphones like the one I'm staring at right now. They've been prepped by this industry, which established Washington's increasingly rabid tone. They encourage politicians to treat their colleagues like their enemies, bickering back and forth on a split screen. Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York City, was right when he said that bloggers and partisan pundits feed a 24-hour news cycle that values conflict over consensus and rewards people at the extremes who scream the loudest. So that's where I'm coming from. The status quo gets rewarded with ratings because they're driven by a small number of people who are passionate, not universal appeal.
There you go. 866-482-1011. 866-482-1011. We'd love your comments. Go ahead, Brad, and we'll go right back to the calls.
Yeah. Even you, Alan, actually just fell into that that fake paradigm, that shadow boxing, that liberal versus conservative. I don't think Michael Smirkanish is through with being a conservative. I think he's through with being a right-winger and a Republican. You know, it irritates the hell out of me when folks, Democrats, progressives, liberals, whoever they are, call these guys on the right conservative. You know, conservatives, at least as I've always understood it, believe in the rule of law, believe in the Constitution. You know, they're not out there calling for people to be killed. And, you know, this also applies to folks on the Democratic side. For example, Joe Biden a week or two ago went out and called Julian Assange of WikiLeaks a high-tech terrorist. Well, what do we do to terrorists? We target them and we kill them without trial, without due process. And here you have the Vice President of the United States, a Democrat, using that kind of language. I'm sorry, but I'm a conservative. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in due process. You know, I don't believe in going out and targeting anybody without due process. And that is, unfortunately, what our government has done, not just starting with Bush, but including Barack Obama, who has put U.S. citizens on an assassination list. So, you know, they're not conservatives. Conservatives, you know, believe in the rule of law and the Constitution, and we're giving them a gift when we, you know, call them, frankly, when we call them conservatives. But what it all does is it serves as a proxy war for really discussing the issues on which I would suggest most Americans probably agree, from, you know, wars in Afghanistan and Iraq to health care and everything else. When you actually talk about the issues, most Americans agree.
That's right. Eyeball to eyeball. It happens all the time. You know, when I'm off the air, people run into me. The last thing I want to talk about is politics. I almost never talk about politics when I'm not working, but people bring it up. And the thing is, it's one of those things that if you have an opinion, you have a strong opinion, you express your opinion, that's fine. But when you're constantly, intentionally giving out misinformation over and over again, and with a mantra over and over again, those are the kind of things that other people pick up, they amplify, they kick it up a few more notches, and by the time the blogosphere gets done with it and all the people who can post their comments anonymously because there's no ramifications, I mean, who knows what people are going to believe? And one other thing about Michael Smirkanish, he actually, a couple of months ago, said he's leaving the Republican Party. Yeah, he's still conservative, absolutely. But he has nothing, he's done with Republicans. And that's a big shocker for somebody who's always been billed as a conservative talk radio host to make that claim. He's about the only one I know on that side of the aisle who's talking about this honestly.
Yeah, and that's the problem. And for years, I have been, you know, calling out, hey, Republicans, who out there is going to stand up and keep your party from being hijacked
right
by a bunch of far right wingers? And that, unfortunately, is what has happened. And if you look, you know, just by way of example, as I said, you know, the issues that we agree with, you know, there was never any truth, not one iota, to that whole death panel nonsense that they were claiming was in the health care bill. But people were understandably upset about the idea of death panels. And if they did exist, I would have been right there with them, you know, pissed as hell. In fact, there are death panels. They exist within the private insurance company who can at any time deny you care. And furthermore, if you look back at Arizona, the governor of Arizona, who does have a death panel, who has in fact taken about 100 Arizona citizens off of the state-run health care program to save about $1 million. In fact, two of them recently died within the last few days. That really is a death panel. Now, if people were really concerned about real death panels, they would be mad as hell at the private insurance industry. They would be mad as hell at Republican Governor of Arizona, Jan Brewer. But they are not, because it was never about death panels. It was a phony argument, much as this right-left conservative-liberal argument is a phony argument meant to prop-up politics has nothing to do with the issues.
Absolutely. All right, 866-482-1011, 866-482-1011. Let's go to Tommy, and here's the question if you're just tuning in. Responsibility behind the microphone, that's what I'm asking. How do you think people behind the mic, and that includes television and camera, have a responsibility to give accurate information? It's gotten that basic now. We're not talking about taking people off the air, but do you think they should be giving out at least accurate information? Yeah, I know about the freedom of speech, but let's talk about accuracy. Let's talk about the ramifications of misinformation becoming a part of your belief system if you hear it over and over again. 866-482-1011. Tommy is next. Thanks for holding, Tommy. Line one.
I just want to make a few quick comments. First off, I don't know how it goes in Arizona, but in North Carolina, sheriffs are elected officials. So he's talking about talk radio, and everybody pretty much knows what he's talking about when he's saying that he's targeting conservative talk radio. And I'd like to know what letter is beside his name on the ballot box when he's up for re-election, if it's a D or if it's an R.
All right, Tommy, let's get a response from that question. Thank you for your call. He as a sheriff, has no, shouldn't be talking about talk radio. That's not his job. He has no way and basis of evaluating. What's your response to that?
Well, it affects him and his job every day. And as I pointed out previously, I'll mention it again. Go to Alto, Arizona. That's A-L-T-O, Arizona.com, and take a look at what Sheriff Dupnik has had to deal with in Arizona, in Tucson, over the past couple of years, and how the incidents of violence and death threats against judges, against politicians, has been growing steadily, including against Judge Rawl, who was shot on Saturday. He had just come off of protection because he had received a whole bunch of death threats, unfortunately, from right-wingers down there, as had Gabby Giffords and Grijalva and other politicians down there. He is actually a Democrat. He has been serving for 30 years in that red state. And what's interesting to me is that, you know, Joe Arpaio, the sheriff up in Maricopa County, which is Phoenix, has been out front, has been on Fox News, has been all over the place, making a whole lot of noise politically. He is far to the right. And yet, I haven't heard anybody out there on the right complaining that Joe Arpaio is a sheriff and should keep his political opinions to himself.
Good point. 866-482-1011. It's the Alan Handelman Show. Let's take another call here. Let's go to Dave, line three. Dave, good to have you on WZTK.
Hey, Alan. I want to point out, I want to agree with you that we really have to have civility in the discourse, and not just extremism.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to a couple of shows. I don't listen to a lot of talk radio because it drives me nuts. I like your show, and I like Brad and Britt because you tend to be moderate. You tend to listen to both sides. But I heard Keith Olbermann, and Keith Olbermann said he was guilty, and he said that, you know, he was, you know, guilty of ramping it up too much, and he admitted, you know, to being guilty of that, and sounded like he was going to be more responsible. On the other hand, I also listened today to Neil Bortz, who's not the most extreme one, and Neil Bortz said, I'm paraphrasing, that Sarah Palin did not have gun sights on her map. Those were surveyor's marks, and it's the liberals who are truly targeting people. He just not only denied it, but he just threw the argument back over to the other side. And it just makes me nuts. You know,
yeah.
Own up to it like Olbermann did.
Yeah, I heard that. And I actually heard Olbermann say last night he was talking about the worst people in the world, the worst person in the world. And he said because some people really thought he literally meant that those people are the worst people in the entire world. And that's what he said was probably mistakes. Brad, let's comment from what Dave just said. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I guess I have to say again, Sarah Palin herself last November referred to the bullseye map via Twitter and Facebook that she had posted that she had used to say, you know, don't retreat, reload. And she used those gun sites on that map. So to rewrite history now and say as Neil Bortz shamelessly is, that those were never meant to be gun sites, they were just surveyor symbols, is just absolutely absurd. Own up to what you did. You don't have to hide behind it. If you think that you had nothing to do with what happened in Arizona, then why would you be out, making these just out-and-out lies and covering your tracks and deleting these gun site maps and so forth? If you didn't do anything wrong, stand by it. Why make up stuff and nonsense to cover for it?
866-482-1011. What do you think about this? 866-482-1011. It's Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. It's the Alan Handelman Show at FM Talk 101.1 WZTK. It is great to have you back. By the way, if you missed any portion of the show, the entire show will be up as a podcast on our website, FMTalk1011.com. FMTalk1011.com. Brad Friedman is with us. His website, BradBlog.com. He's a journalist, and his focus is integrity with people in the media and also people, as far as politicians are concerned, are leaders in this country. All right, a lot of people want to respond. Let me play that clip one more time. And I predicted Rush was going to do this. He always does when somebody, when people start pointing the finger to some on the radio, he usually brings up the fairness doctrine. Notice he doesn't actually say the fairness doctrine, but nonetheless, that's what he's talking about.
Wouldn't be surprised if somebody in the Obama administration or some FCC bureaucrat or some Democrat congressman hasn't already written up such legislation, is sitting in a desk drawer somewhere just waiting for the right event for a clapdown. They have been trying this ever since the Oklahoma City bombing. You know that they were rubbing hands together. You know that they were emailing and calling each other on the phone saying, aha, this might be the one. This might be the one where we can officially tie it to these guys and shut them up and shut them down.
There's a giant duel.
866-482-1011. We're going to cut that a little short there. Go right to your calls. All right, Brad, let's see. Everybody, by the way, we're going to give you a minute, so move fast. Let's start with Dave on line one. Go, Dave. Good to have you on WZTK.
Brad and Alan, thank you for having me on. I have a question. Did either of you truly believe that either Sarah Palin with her chart or the Democrats with similar bullseye charts were trying to incite murder, attacks, or any type of this behavior? These types of charts and awards have been part of the lexicon of politics and sports and a number of other places. We're going to kill the opponent. Places like
all
that.
Right, fair enough. Good question. Let me respond. Good question. Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, no, I don't believe they did. But to say that they were part of the environment, I don't know that we've had U.S. Senate candidates who have talked about using Second Amendment remedies. I don't know that we've had candidates talking about being armed and dangerous, about using the bullets instead of the ballot box. This is different. This has not happened, at least not across the airwaves 24/7 as we now get it.
Gabriel's father thinks that the Tea Party, when he was asked about her having any enemies, he said, yeah, the whole Tea Party. You had her opponent who said we need to target her and somebody needs to get an automatic M16 and fire it to remove her from office. That's a quote. No, I don't think they're directly responsible. I think the guy's deranged. We made that very clear. But at the same time, I think it's certainly valid when people do point to those comments.
Her windows were shut out in her office.
Right.
10 different Congress people around the country had their windows broken in their offices after they voted in favor of health care. They've had death threats. This is not what we have seen before. If you try to deny your responsibility here, then you're frankly deluding yourself. One point, I know you're up against the clock, but as we were talking about the fairness doctrine, and he was giving the false notion that people want to take Rush Limbaugh off the air. I don't believe that anybody wants to do that. But here's an idea. Rush Limbaugh is on 3 hours a day, 5 days a week across 600 affiliate stations. How about we put Alan Handelman on the air 5 days a week, 3 hours a day across those same 600 affiliates as soon as Rush is done? Who could possibly disagree with that kind of balance in our media? The only people who would disagree with that are people like Rush and the people who have been fooled by Rush.
Wow. Well, thank you for saying that. I don't know if I'd want all those stations looking for a hard right conservative talk. What they're going to hear from me is not going to be that, so I don't know if they want that. But I'll tell you one thing. When you look at ratings across the country, all over the country, as dominant a figure as he is, as talented a person as Rush Limbaugh is, his power is eroding. His ratings are going down. Glenn Beck, as an example, by the way, has already lost two affiliates just in the last month or two.
Well, yeah, but they got a long way to go. They still control the airwaves, and I need to point out these are our public airwaves, and we ought to be protecting them the way we protect national
parks. Brad Block, I'm sorry, we're completely out of time. Great discussion, everybody.